Welcome to Sidekick Strategies Expert Interviews, your premium podcast for mastering inbound strategies. Whether you're a marketer, sales professional, service expert, operations ninja, or business owner using HubSpot, this is the place for you. Every week, we bring you a new expert to share the essential tips, tricks, mindsets, and best practices your business needs to reach its full potential. Ready to transform your approach with cutting-edge insights? Let's dive into the world of inbound strategies with this week's expert. Hello to all my hub heroes. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to another Sidekick Strategies event. Today, we are talking about how pairing the upcoming customer object with deliverables, custom object can unlock the post-sale cut. We're talking about a whole bunch of nerdy stuff. That's what we're talking about. And we're talking about something that might have been missing from your process and your customer experience. And I am so excited to be sitting here today with Chris, a buddy of mine from Conveying Your Message. Chris is an experienced marketing leader in the industrial sector. He has spent over 15 years, ladies and gentlemen, working with companies in the industrial and manufacturing space. Chris helped transition his previous companies into digital marketing and CRM systems. He's passionate about bridging the industrial skills and knowledge gap. There's one of those, Chris, through marketing and enabling customer-facing teams. Chris brings a strong understanding of marketing strategy, automation, and customer experience from his background managing production, sales, and marketing. Chris, also, by the way, what did you used to do before marketing? I've got to dive into that real quick.
I started my career as a bench chemist.
Holy mackerel, ladies and gentlemen. So we have nerd of nerds. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome, man. Yeah, and started as a bench chemist, didn't have to deal with any customers or anything all day, and I thought it was the best thing ever. So as we talk through today, you're going to see how far I have come.
You didn't want to talk to people. You thought it was awesome. And now you're like, how do we create dope experiences for these people? Let's start right there, actually, about creating dope experiences for these people. Because when we're trying to create dope experiences, Chris, inevitably, there ends up being potholes, hurdles, just things that get in the way. So what are the main challenges that businesses face with kind of the current customer order management systems that are out there? And how does the approach that we're going to talk about kind of address these?
Yeah, so like everything we're going to talk about today comes from a place of I was brought into companies to build out digital marketing, digital customer experience with all these gaps, without the right tools in place throughout the customer journey, right? Not just going to get leads. I could not do that. I could not create the experiences I wanted to create, the experiences I sold to my boss that I was going to create. And as the marketer, I wasn't in charge of all these other business systems. So now that we're consulting from the outside, that's where we're focused, to do the videos, to get everybody involved. There's just a huge time suck because we're answering too many calls, we're answering too many emails, while thinking that we're serving the customers that are answering the questions. And we are, but since they're not necessarily asking for self-service support in the B2B space, nobody's creating it for them. So all this is about creating a self-service experience for the common questions, especially post-sale, that we know the customers are going to ask. We know because they're asking them, and we know because we ask them in our B2C, you know, lives, right? I think this is a classic case of B2B, B2C does not matter. It's human beings, and they want to know what goes on after they give you money.
And I know you have a little bit of a presentation that you're going to share along the way. So if you want to share that real quick before I ask the next question. But Chris, there's a couple things that I'm super excited about. One, I have been on this journey of why can't we provide a self-service system in the B2B world? And when we launched our agency, one of the things that we did was look at every page that we could give a self-service purchase process. Now, the thing is, it ended there. Like, how could we self-serve anything past that? So I am excited to talk about this today and actually dive into this idea of, sure, you can self-service the payments, but then how do you actually serve a better experience post that and kind of continue to move forward.
Why is this even an expectation that we have to meet, right? And the whole gist of today is the hardest part now is choosing to do it as a business because we have the tools. We have the tools. It doesn't cost as much as you think it does. It doesn't take as long as you think it does. But this is what we see in everyday lives, right? Domino's Pizza Tracker. I pay $10 for a pizza and I know its whole life history, like before it gets to me, right? Meanwhile, in B2B, I pay you $500,000 for a piece of capital equipment and I got to call or email and hope that you have the information, right? I don't have ready access to anything. We've been doing it this way for a long time, right? On both the business side and the customer side. So the customers aren't necessarily asking for it. So I can understand why businesses don't think they have to do it, right? But right now you have customers that are just settling basically because nowhere gives them this kind of stuff. And it's all about, you know, for me, it's visibility into, you know, what's happening. I like to think about it in terms of, you know, they ask you answer, so applicable to this whole process, but I haven't seen it talked about in this transactional way, like in between the customer experience and like the buying process. Whereas, you know, the questions that we ask ourselves are, you know, things like who's involved, who's my sales rep, who's the technical contact, who's going to be delivering and installing. Like, I want to know that. I want to know when am I going to get it? If I'm not getting it when I expected to get it, you know, what's the new date? Can I compare that to the last time, right? What's the progress? Which stage are we at? What did I get, right? I'm B2B, I'm ordering stuff. You know, every day the boss is, you know, asking for the invoice or the budget from last month. And I got to go and I got to find that information. You know, were the specs right? How much did it cost? And then, you know, there's often some kind of ID, right? Like, how do I know this is the thing? Serial numbers, you know, all these different things. So those are common questions. The reason we have to deal with this in B2B is Amazon, for example, is so good at this. We'd never have to talk to anybody to get all this information. And during COVID, they were like the only ones you could trust at some point when it came to any kind of lead time, right? Because supply chain just disintegrated in manufacturing. And that was probably like just the loss of trust there. And as humans, we don't want to be uncertain about anything. So we start calling more, we start emailing more, and that has not gone away.
I love this whole conversation. I mean, the fact that I know that Ruben put my pizza in the oven and Bob is actually driving it to my location, but I order a, you know, $1 million jet plane engine and I'm freaking clueless to like when it's actually going to be done or what's happening around it. I love that you painted that picture. And I also really, really like this idea of, you know, Amazon has kind of set the bar so much that they haven't just set the bar for B2C organizations, but B2B organizations need to get online because you used what I would say is, I just would consider it a bad word. It's not a curse word, but anytime you have lived in a process or built a system where the customer you're serving, the human that you're trying to help pass the hurdle they have has to settle. Man, I hate that word. I hate the word settle or making somebody settle. So let's dive in a little bit further, Chris, with this shift towards kind of, I'll call it B2C-like experience in B2B markets. How important is it for companies to adopt a very proactive post-sale management approach moving forward?
Pretty important. And this is one of those proactive things, like can leaders just make the decision at this point, because not only are we talking about customer experience externally, internally is where I experience the toll worse. Like all these great people that in reality, like their job has always been to answer the emails and the calls. So now they just have more of them. It still feels like you're doing your job. Like, and it takes priority, especially when all these companies have, they love the fact that a human is answering the phone. They take pride in that. and that they answer very quickly, right? So when you go from 10 calls to 100 calls, that takes your whole day. And those are the same people I need to be making how-to videos, right? And other things that help, honestly answer a lot of these questions before we even get them. And when you get into account management and sales territory, because there's lots of sales reps, like full funnel sales reps and account managers that handle these kinds of questions, how much of the week are they spending on this where they're not selling? Right? That's the real toll of all of this stuff. And these customer-facing teams deserve better. They're the ones doing the work on the ground. And when you're just focused on the bottom line, it's pretty hard to see that. But especially when you're trying to deliver stuff like CRMs and you got to interact with these people and they take you through their day and you're just like, how many emails did you respond to? And like 10 of them today were the same exact question.
Yeah, without a doubt. Like that whole, I mean, first of all, when you said you 10 to 100 and you had mentioned speed before that, I was like, yep, not fast anymore, are we? Like, you're just getting stuck in the trenches and it's crazy. So there's got to be a better way. That's kind of why we're here talking about this today. You guys have created something pretty freaking spectacular. So let's keep kind of diving a layer deeper here. Let's talk about how does integrating CRM systems with custom objects. Now, I know we're kind of maybe getting nerdy for some of the people here. Let me just kind of preface some things. One, when we're mentioning CRM systems, at least for my case, we use HubSpot CRM. And we're talking about objects, we're talking about something that holds data inside of that CRM in specific ways. Because you might be watching this and you're like, I don't even own HubSpot. Like, what are you talking about? So just know that these are pieces that you'll start to understand as we go through this. But I'll ask the question, how does integrating CRM systems with custom objects and processes, Chris, how does it improve visibility and efficiency in the post-sale order management process?
In so many ways that we're creating. And we're going to show like some cool shiny object stuff today. But what we found to be so valuable, and the customers are telling this, it creates a space for you to do these kinds of jobs proactively and not have to, clutter up the sales deals or clutter up the help desk tickets, right? Which are meant for very different things. Like, this is basically a customer success activity. And we are adding objects to the portal, right? So there's probably a concern of like, oh man, another object, more fields that I have to fill out. But the beauty and the separation of the objects, right, is that you can have different owners, right? So sales is owning deals, service is owning tickets, customer success, order management, even inside sales maybe, anybody responsible for upsell, resell, cross-sell. They can see this order object, these deliverables that have happened in the past, and they can manage them effectively in this system. And now that you have it in this system, in this way, using a tool like HubSpot, where the CMS is just so interwoven with the whole system, I love asking the question and showing these results. Like, do you ever want to show that piece of data to a customer? Like, do you ever send it in an email? And so many times, like, this is new for everybody. So you might be sending it in the email, but you don't think of it as a piece of data that you want to show a customer. It's just a ship date or some other, like a serial number, right? But in reality, setting up the system well, and all of this is based on a strategy. Like, this is not, there's no, not a lot of plug and play here, right? But when you do it correctly, now the rest of the process gets better. And when you enter into the CRM, seconds later, it's going to be available, to the customer on their order portal. And that's really the beauty of this integrated system. And that's, for me, that's what I've loved. It's, people have a harder time saying no to HubSpot when I say any piece of data we can put in there, we can put it on a web page very easily.
interesting, the fact that you can put it on a web experience that people can actually get to and see. We might actually talk about that or show that. Also, you mentioned strategy, and my brain immediately went to customization because you said not really a lot of plug and play. And so understanding your process at an intimate level, being able to customize kind of this thing that we're talking about today, super powerful piece of this. Now, here's the thing. I have, again, been leaning into this, been trying to do this. I know in HubSpot, I've been leveraging line items for some of the things that I've been trying to do. But again, I said I never really got past the sales portion of this. So I personally am invested in asking the next question of why are traditional line items insufficient or effective or for effective order management, especially, Chris, when we're talking about physical product. Like, listen, I sell a lot of digital stuff. I mean, I might sell a hat or two. Anyway, not why we're here. But especially physical products, like, how does this solution help improve upon line items, physical goods, and the ordering process?
Line items are just not meant for management after the transaction, after the sale. Now, there's some technical reasons in HubSpot that, you know, makes it not possible. And we try to do this with line items, just like everybody else. One of the most common things that hasn't been solved for right now is I want line items to do this, like just fill in the blank. And as we developed this process, and once I tried and then like worked with people at HubSpot to say, like, I'm trying to be a good admin here and not create a custom object that is exactly like an object that already exists in the system, right? But once I got permission and created the deliverable object, just everything became possible that I wanted to do after the sale. And as we think about it, and I'll get into this process, but I just wanted to show. So we've got a product library, we've got line items, and we've got deliverables. They all represent the same kind of thing, right? But a product, like the products in the product library are like, you know, the thing that we plan to sell turns into a line item that is meant to be just this malleable thing that sales can kind of manage throughout the sales process, like in collaboration with the customer. Like, do we need to make it look like this? Like, am I customizing this thing, or do we actually need just a separate version of that thing? And we're just going to throw up a custom line item because we're not going to put it in the library. Like, all of that flexibility that we love means it's not a static thing to be managed anywhere else, right? So we kind of got to understand, you know, the benefits there and what, you know, what the consequences of that are as far as what we can do with that object. So once we turn that into a deliverable record after the sale, now we can associate it with anything else in the system. You know, we can manage different versions of it as it changes while it's in the hands of the customer. And one of the most common things we saw, because this happened in the ERP side too, just line items in these systems are not built to do these things. Because what we'd see is that we'd have four shipments for an order, and they might end up going to different places. We're forced to take notes on the line items themselves because those are the things that are going their separate ways. And then we report on the order and we only see one address, right? Because we're trying to put way too much information in the line item and they're just not designed for that. So that's why, like, realizing that, you know, okay, line items have a specific purpose. Now we're going to come over here. That's kind of what our thought process has been behind that.
Basically, I'm looking at the slide. We're in the delivered process, but it's like you've paired the custom object of like these two things together, right? The customer order and the object deliverables. Like, and I think you've kind of done this, but maybe you go a little bit deeper, like how this enhances this combination, this pairing, how it enhances the post-sale customer experience.
It allows for an experience to be managed. Like when you're trying to manage post-sale out of pre-sales objects like deals, it's hard. Like, and it just, you got to do workarounds, and credit to the community. they've come up with lots and lots of workarounds to solve for stuff like this. But as soon as you have this separation, now the internal experience can make sense to a point where, oh yeah, I can put this in because I know if I put it in here, I don't have to worry about like the whole rest of the company like messing with it. Now I'm confident that I can serve it to a portal that a customer can see it, right? I don't have to worry about getting in other people's way. It just creates this, you know, separation. And I'm not going to talk about silos in a good light, like almost ever. But it became clear to us on the inside, like all the individual contributors need to know exactly what they're supposed to be doing every day and exactly how they can get it done. And when you start sharing all these objects in all these places, like you just got to find ways to create some separation while doing it in ways that makes it easy for other people to know what's going on, but not have it like impact their process, right? Which is often the case when you start using deals and you start trying to report on non-sales activities outside of deals, like admin just, you know, goes through the roof.
So let's keep diving a little bit a layer deeper. You're literally on this delivered process. And one thing I know to be true about organizations, somebody's delivered is not somebody else's delivered. Like it just, it depends. And so like, I love that you said in the last question, well, it enables them to do the thing, which might be a cousin, brother, sister to this next question. But Chris, can you kind of describe the delivered process and really more of less the process, but more the benefits over what most organizations are maybe stuck in, that traditional order management practices?
Yeah. So this end state of this Amazon-like experience where I know I don't care about the details related to my whole order as much. I care about all the details in the five line items because they might be shipping at different times. They have all these different details and I can see all that stuff on Amazon. So I'm like, okay, how can we make that work? So we started with the end in mind. What does the customer need to see? Okay, how do we make it easy for our internal team to give the customer that information in a self-service way? So we designed the deliverable object, and I have yet to, you know, maybe someday this is going to be like a base object in HubSpot, because for me, if anybody gives you money, I'm pretty sure in all cases, the responding like either service or product or whatever you give them in return can be called a deliverable. You won't go deep into that, but that's where the name comes from, right? So, you know, basically off of a deal closed one, we have a custom coded workflow that says, okay, what line items were on this deal? And based on the line items we see, we create a corresponding customer order, which currently is a custom object. Later this year, maybe it's not a custom object. And it has an associated set of deliverables that mirror the line items that were on the deal. So that's the process in a nutshell. We're going to go into the system, you know, soon and kind of show that.
Yeah, I can't wait, by the way, to do a demo. So ladies and gentlemen, you're going to see like, what do they say? How the sausage is made maybe sometimes. But I'm going to ask you like a big mamma jamma question here, Chris, before we dive into that. And that is, I want you to do a brain dump on your thoughts on how do modernized growth strategies, right? Incorporating sales, marketing, service teams, like how bringing it together and how this kind of modernizing the thing that has, well, we've always done it well that way. Well, should we? Like, how does that meet kind of the evolving expectations of industrial and manufacturing customers that are out there that while they've been settling, they're closely moving into, you know, the Twisted Sister song, "We're Not Gonna Take It"? Like, they're quickly moving into like, "We're not gonna take it." Like, unpack your brain on that.
Yeah. And for me, it always comes back to experience. And what I saw on the inside is like, we make it very hard for our customer facing teams to provide any kind of cohesive experience. It starts there, and that's why we're focused on bringing these teams together. Because oftentimes the data that the service team needs to give to the customer was data that was agreed upon, you know, by the salesperson. Sometimes it's data we've market and it's on our website page, and then we have to enter it into the system multiple times, different people. And when you have to do that, like naturally, things break down. So bringing everybody together, bringing the processes together, you know, and I feel like it's so, I'm going to go through some questions here because I think these kinds of questions that I know these people ask, you know, again, we talked about the top level ones, the easy ones, right? When you don't answer those, then the questions are like, you know, did I get a good deal? Am I happy with the price I paid? Did I really need this item? Is it an impulse buy? Is it going to perform? Is it going to meet my needs? Will it improve my life? You know, is it actually going to solve the problem I bought it for? Did I choose the right one? Right? And in manufacturing, that's the last thing you want, right? You don't want those questions being asked, right? Because in manufacturing, it goes to the level of, you know, is that lead time real, right? Because the last one wasn't. Should I look for a backup supplier just in case? The answer is yes. And at which point does that backup supplier do it better than you? And doing it is this experience. Because the one time you fail and they have a portal, they have self-service, you know, they're easier to do business with. They have how-to videos. That's all the customer needs to see, you know, and they're gone. And in some cases, we've seen customers that are representative of 10, 20, 30% of a business's revenue asking for better, you know, information post-sale, better access. So even with the customers that we have, like, we're taking them for granted. And if we do that, we're just setting ourselves up. Like, there's going to be places to go. There are companies that are starting to do this the right way. So if we don't do that, you're just, you know, you're risking your business. You're risking the growth that you want, and you're risking, you know, the well-being of your teams while you put them in these positions. It made sense to me why it was so hard for me, especially now that I'm on the outside, to kind of create this experience that we know works. Like, if you do, that's the thing, George, like, digital is so templatable. It's so proven. Like, there's no downside to doing this, right? So why aren't we?
Yeah, if there's no downside, then why are you willing to risk everything that Chris said? You're risking this, you're risking this. There is a list. If you rewind and jot down in your notes, like, so why? Why are you? I love this. It's time, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to do the demo, the demo, the demo, the demo. So, Chris, how do we want to do this? What, lead the way, brother, that we can show people what's going on.
Yes, sir. So we're coming into HubSpot, and we're going to look at a favorite customer of mine in our portal. So we've got George's contact record here. And, you know, one thing I didn't touch on, but orders. I mentioned it quickly, but orders are a thing in HubSpot, and they will continue to be a thing. We have to make a custom object for them right now, but they're already a container of data in HubSpot that goes with Shopify, NetSuite, and Dynamics integrations, right? And what that allows for, so HubSpot is moving towards this customer platform whole experience, right? And what we're talking about is a big part of that experience that has not been available in the system. So when I look, so let's say George calls up. Now I come to his contact record, and I can see, you know, product history. What has he purchased in the past? He likes peanut butter and pickle sandwiches, right? Here's the two customer orders, right? Here's the, you know, deliverables where the extra information was on those things, right? And as we look, so I'm like, okay, you know, what happened? Like, what did this first one look like? Okay. We met at Inbound, actually, to do this. So it was hand delivery. I didn't use any other service, right, to do that. Just one sandwich to start out, like, just to test the waters. And then we got, you know, here the industrial information, right? Like, pickup dates, the difference between when it was scheduled, all these things. Like, in a system like HubSpot, it's just so easy to do this stuff if you want to do it, right? And if you do this, now all the automation that you like, you know, works for you. Okay, expected and actual are different. Somebody probably needs to know that, right? Somebody probably wants to keep that from happening next time. We've got these cards that we're filling in. And this is where, you know, the beauty of HubSpot and having teams that are seeing different things in the same places, right? So my post-sales team can come in and they're seeing information related to the shipping status, you know, what had to be on the label. This is a fun use case for us to think about and try to tackle right now is parent companies and child companies, you know, inside of HubSpot. I'm selling to a huge company and they've got 50 locations. How can we do that better in HubSpot? And even more so when a common use case in the field and in industrial is, I might be sending something to somebody at a hotel. It doesn't necessarily make sense to have that hotel as a record in my system of any kind, right? Not a company, it's never buying anything. So what do we do in those cases? We don't actually put it in the system. We just send it in an email to somebody. So then we lose track of actually what happened. That's what's meant by this. Here's the information on the shipping label. And if we can make this place, now integrating it to the shipping software, you know, becomes possible. We see we had a sandwich, you know, last September. If we come back here, yeah, go back to George. He also had one. So he liked that sandwich so much that he bought five more over here, right? And that was like a month later, and we actually shipped it to him. So we used UPS 2 days, got tracking number, URLs, right? And we know where George is at, right? So we don't need any of this, you know, temporary stuff. Doesn't make sense to put it in. Got associated company right here. Now, the part that I skipped over real quick here is usually where it ends inside of these systems. We think we have to put all this information on the order itself. And you can probably get away with that if it's always one-to-one, like one order, one deliverable, right? But as soon as you get multiple deliverables, this process breaks down, right? Because it might be multiple shipments. They ship at different times. And then, like, if we don't want to create another object, then we're making, like, you know, expected date one, expected date two. We try to, like, make all these other properties that, you know, it just doesn't work out well. So this is a use case that, you know, I love the fact that we can have custom objects available to support this process. So I'd love for you, George, because now the magic of this is now we're going to show how George can see it on his side.
Love it. Love it. So I'll share my screen. This is the magic, like the customer. Well, I shouldn't say that because the internal process is magic too, but being able to give customers this experience where they can log in and see what Chris is about to show. It's amazing. Amazing.
You know, so this is all in HubSpot CMS. So George is logged in here. I think we got you signed up, you know, in about 5 minutes. You know, very easy add to, you know, registration list. And this is one page. So we've built one page in the CMS that can serve as many customers as we need it to. Like, because there's a membership. This is the membership functionality that you get with CMS Hub Enterprise. So let's take a look at that first order. So we see a list of orders here, and these are pulled you know, from the fact that George has a couple of customer orders attached to his contact record. And all that was generated, you know, from a workflow when I clicked closed one on the deal. So we see a tracker here, you know, as we were getting ready to eat these things. You know, we talked about, was it white or wheat? Are we going to toast it? So got our requirements. We accepted the scope. You know, Thomas Pheme was in effect. Had people toasting stuff, had people spreading peanut butter. It was a good time. Maybe a little taste of the pickles and the peanut butter to test it out. I said, okay, let's go. and then we did it. So go ahead and see details. Click on see details next to the date there. This information is like whichever properties you make in the CRM, you can put on here. And it's really like minutes. And this is the kind of stuff that's just classic. Like if you want to do this without a system like HubSpot, you're probably talking to a developer almost every time you want to make a change. So we've got all the information that we saw on the cards. Why don't you go ahead and click on the proof of delivery?
Which, by the way, I love this because we talked about Amazon, right? And how you get a photo at like it's at your door. You literally get like, hey, here it is. I love this, by the way. I'm going to go ahead and open this in a new window. Oh, yeah. I'm just saying. Best day ever.
And that's the thing, like proof of delivery, like that's a common thing that companies have wanted, right? Because they know you can go to the UPS site. When they click on the URL, they can download it themselves. But usually they're asking you for it. So at which point in your process do you just say like, hey, let's build this into the process? Right, we're going to make a field for it and we're going to put it there proactively instead of waiting for the customer to ask us for it, then go download it and then send it in an email, and then it doesn't get saved anywhere. So when they ask for it again in 2 weeks, you do the exact same thing. That's right. It's literally the decision to do this. And once you have this in play, now just a lot of things become possible.
Yeah, not only become possible, but Chris, I would say become easy or easier. And I love, too, that you referenced when you're showing how the sausage is made, you actually referenced, well, what if they're at a hotel? You don't want to put that in the system. And literally you have the hotel information of the place where we saw the actual delivery happening. So, like, it's an amazing piece of how this connects the dots for so many humans.
So I'll share my screen again just to show a couple more things. Let's see here. All right. And this is just a previous example. You know, the whole goal, like we're showing you just, you know, one line item, right? But we're talking about multiple. And I think the underrated thing about custom objects in HubSpot is the ability to use pipelines within the objects. That's the kind of stuff that people are used to going to things like MRPs and ERPs for, because I might have a production process and like a buy resell process and a manufacturing process, and they're all different. So I've got all these stages, and you can do that in HubSpot. And I've talked to several ERP vendors and show me where the data is, right? And it's like, okay, if we make a home for it in HubSpot, it doesn't mean we're replacing the ERP. Like the ERPs, we want them to do ERP things, and ERP things does not equal customer facing activity. So if we can put our customer facing teams in place with the information that's connected to the ERP, and now it just makes it possible for our customer to see it too. So we have different types of products. You know, this is a warranty, right? So there's paperwork that needs to be drafted. Maybe there's some training that needs to be completed to be able to sign off them on the warranty. We've got hard goods. We have about, you know, 15 different pipelines, you know, that come with this. If you can allow yourself to think about what you want the customer to experience, like it's possible. Just to show, like, you know, a little bit more about how easy this is. Right, I'm signed into our HubSpot platform right now, and I go to edit page. Right there, you see the token, right? Contact first name. Right, and we open up this module, and it's literally, let's see here, can manage the colors, right? So this is our color set, our brand. Like if you want it for your brand, very easy to change the colors of the stages. And then properties, adding properties, literally just you come in here and value to display, the value of the property itself in the system, and now it's available. So maybe a combination of I didn't appreciate it, but I also didn't understand it, is asking an IT team to add a property to a piece of software or a website, right? Not only is it easy here, but it's literally like 2 minutes to do it in Hubs in the CRM, and then a couple minutes to do it here. And now all of a sudden, the thing that I just thought of, that I got a new customer, they want a new thing, I can give it to them. And it's not a 6-month IT project, right? I don't have to reconfigure the whole integration, the way everything is, the code, right? It's a modern system that can provide that experience, you know, internally and externally. All right, you can see this reorder links, right? And if we go back to George's order here, right? We're not seeing it here because there's nothing there, right? But let's say that we want to, during this conversation with George, we've been reviewing his history. We ask him, how'd you like those 5 sandwiches that you bought last time? Okay, so let's say he wants to reorder, right? And this kind of process, traditionally in these spaces, it is a quoting process that just looks just like the $500,000 instrument process for the $5 thing.
Yeah.
And every salesperson that has to do that knows they're losing so much money every time they have to quote that. Now, like, so we have the deal pulled up. George is just like, hey, I want to order those 5 again, and I want to do it right now. Right, we can convert the deal to a link, and we got, you know, payment settings here. We're good. All right, create, copy this link. And honestly, like, this is where the nice part is the portal. Like, if you're a sales guy and you have access to HubSpot, you don't need the portal. You can do exactly what I just did, and now you could email that link to your customer. If we come back to this deliverable that he wants to reorder, and we add the reorder link into this rich text field.
It's almost all like, right, it's going to be magical, ladies and gentlemen.
Sometimes it does take a minute. Oh, it didn't look this at time. That. All right. Now I can use my credit card. I don't have to fill out a PDF and send it back and forth via email. I don't have people writing down credit cards and breaking laws as they like store it as a written thing, right? Like, this stuff is possible, right? And if you know it's possible, like, you're doing everybody around you a disservice by not making it happen and not deciding to do it, right? We've got the tools. You know they want it. Make the decision to do this stuff.
Love it. So good. So good. And ton of value. Anybody watching this that has to go through this process or has had to go through this process, obviously share this with your boss, your coworkers, whoever. Chris, I'm super curious. Let's boil it down. A secret question that you didn't know I was going to ask you. If you think about all that we've talked about today, like, what's one major takeaway that you hope the audience takes away after this session?
If you know what your customer wants and you feel like you can't give it to them, have you done the research? Is that reality, or is that just you not wanting to do the work? This situation is not going away. Like, I boil it down to humans want to be certain of the next steps. And the less information you give them, the less certain they're going to be, the more likely they go elsewhere to somebody who can give them that certainty. Including your internal teams. They are seeing stuff like this too. They're seeing AI. They're seeing all this stuff. And then they come to work and they're using systems built in the 90s. I had heard stories like this, right? But it wasn't until last month that I actually heard about sales guys having to quote out of a 1998 ERP system with no user interface. You see, this stuff exists, right? Maybe you've had experiences with it in the past. That's where, like, I'll be honest, HubSpot could not do this a year and a half ago. They have moved so quickly, especially with Payment Links, Commerce Hub. We couldn't have sold this a year ago.
Yeah.
Right? So even if you had, if you tried to do this 2 years, 3 years, 4 years ago, just revisit it. Where there's a will to provide this customer experience, there is a way.
I love that. Where there's a will, there's a way. Focus on your internal humans, the external humans. And what I heard was this idea of visibility, aka transparency, knowing that there's no gotchas along the way, which builds trust. And we all know what trust does. It just makes it real easy to buy from you. Hey, Chris, if people want to reach out, where do you want to send them for any type of conversation or questions that they might have after today?
Well, I love me some LinkedIn. You can find, you know, me and Salim on there. Pretty active in the Sprocketeer community with a bunch of other awesome HubSpot super users, you know, from agencies and, you know, from private companies, and HubSpot themselves are starting to get involved in there. So that's a great place to catch me. And then our website, conveyingyourmessage.com. We're going to be adding more information, you know, and if you want to reach out to us for a demo of the portal, it could be just the CMS side, could be just the CRM objects. We can do it any way that works for you.